It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Use that success to trampoline back to a, quote, better job. But he's happy at Ole Miss. I think Chris Beard is happy at Ole Miss as well. And Lane Kiffin has kind of showed that, like, you can stay and build something there. And, like, life ain't so bad. Why put yourself back in the pressure cooker of the state of Texas where you got some, like, a lot of your life history, but also some pretty bad recent memories? Like, why put yourself back into that when, like, you can just kind of hang out and be a hero in Oxford? That life doesn't seem so bad to me, man. Like,
I do.
You make a lot of money. You're more successful than the historical average has been by a long shot, both for Kiffin and for Beard in both situations. You got enough to at least be competitive. Nobody's going to accuse Ole Miss of spending more than Kentucky in basketball or spending more than Alabama or Georgia in football, right? But, like, you got enough to be competitive. You got a nice little life. You can go hang out on the Oxford Square. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not ambitious enough.
No,
but I see being successful at a place like Ole Miss as, like, kind of the dream.
Ole Miss offers a very high quality of life. I've seen it. I've lived it. You can be Lane Kiffin can go 8-4, 9-3 perpetually, and he will be coaching there until he decides he's no longer coaching there, and he will be making $10 million. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be making close to top 10 in the sport. So, like, the quality of life is there. The question, though, that I have is, so many of these guys, it's like, how much are they motivated by winning a national championship? Like, do I think Lane Kiffin can win a national championship at Ole Miss? Not based on the constructs that I see. Like, do I think he can get Ole Miss back into the playoff picture again? Yes, I think that's possible. But, like, that kind of feels like the ceiling. Does Chris Beard aspire to win a national championship? I don't think he can do it at Ole Miss. I think he can be the Ole Miss coach until the day he dies. Like,
but could he do it at Texas A&M?
That's the question that I have. Is, like, so, okay, A&M's this weird spot where, and I'm not even talking about the fan base and whatnot, because they get their panties in a wad about that. But it is this weird spot where there's no reason for it not to be better than it is in almost every sport. Like, you look at it since they've come to the SEC, they've largely been kind of what they were in the Big 12, which is certain years they get lightning in a bottle, and whether it be with Johnny Football, probably the truth is Jimbo's best team was probably the COVID team. Like, that team was
they went 8-1 or whatever.
Like, that team was pretty good, and so, like, but I feel like we're always in the same spot where it's like in football, we do like a bunch of like twists and turns and we find out that it's like 8-4, 9-3.
Yep.
Basketball, it's
across the board in their athletic department. Yeah. You look at, they care a lot about baseball, but the best they've ever done was last year when they finished second in the College World Series. They care a lot about football, but they can't win anything that matters in football. They are maybe starting to care a little bit more about men's basketball, but they've never been past the Sweet 16. Why is Texas A&M not better? And are you lying to yourself if you look at their big stadium and their Aggie L and talk yourself into thinking, oh, yeah, I can go and win a national title there. I'm the guy who can do it. I don't know. At some point, I think the reality of Texas A&M and the perception are vastly at odds. If I were advising Chris Beard, I would say this. Use the Texas A&M opening to make sure that you can keep Malik Dia, to make sure that you can go out and get a couple of more big-name guys from the portal, because you got to replace Jamin Brakefield, you got to replace Sean Padula, you got some other guys you got to replace from this year's team. Leverage that A&M opportunity, because you know Ole Miss is worried about it. You know Ole Miss is worried about it in a way they probably weren't worried about any other opening in this cycle. Leverage it to get what you need to go out and put together a good roster for next season, and then just keep running it back. Because if he is driven and motivated by being at a place where he can win a national title, he's going to learn pretty quickly what Jim Schlossnagel learned on the baseball side. He's going to learn pretty quickly
and
what Jimbo Fisher learned. You can't win a national title at A&M.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about when, like, how Jim left TCU. Like,
that's why Texas A&M wants to hire from within the SEC, because they're still butthurt that Texas poached their baseball coach, and so they want to be like, they want to show how mighty they are and like go hire Chris Beard and be like, I see we there's somebody in this conference who we can do that to. We're not inferior.
Yeah, I guess though my thing is, I think Texas A&M's biggest problem is that from the outside, it seems like average coach should be able to win at an extremely high level. For instance, we have three coaches that have won national championships at LSU, two of which are certified morons. But
yes,
it's been proven, like, and the other is Nick Saban. The other is the greatest coach of all time in the sport. So I do think average coach can win national championship at LSU in football. The thing though is, like, I view Beard as like borderline,
he's above average. He's
like
above average.
Borderline, like in that top 10% of, doesn't matter where he goes, that guy's going to win. And so with A&M, it's like if you match special coach with all the things that A&M offers, can you reach a new level? But to your point, if you're Chris Beard, is that the job you want to leave for?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, man. I mean, there's no doubt he's an incredible coach. I don't think Texas A&M is the place to get him where he wants to go. Texas A&M is the place for him to go and exercise a personal vendetta. If that's what he's interested in, going back to the state of Texas and proving how good of a coach he is and proving to the people in that state that he wasn't treated properly at Texas, if that's what he's interested in, then by all means, go. But if you're interested in building a mid-tier SEC program or a lower-tier SEC program into something better than it's historically been, just stay at Ole Miss and wait for the big job. I thought Indiana might be that job. I guess Indiana wasn't interested, right? But wait for the place where you can actually do it, because Texas A&M is not it.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. Fran Brown, the head coach at Syracuse, had some interesting comments about the state of the spring game and wanting to play Deion. I wanted to get into that with Cobb. Also, we got to talk some torpedo bats. We haven't really gotten into that. Also, the Warriors are in town. It's kind of a big one. We'll get into that during hour number two as well. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. While we may be through March, there's still a couple of days to enter into Zen Sports' latest VIP Players Club sweepstakes. It's, of course, the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. The drawing will be on April 3rd. Remember, one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game next Monday night, or $5,000 cash. Plus, 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the championship game, or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed up until April 3rd. Every dollar bet during up until April 3rd, as well as earning 10 times the entries on all parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they're offering multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See full terms over on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to wager. George, let's get into the list. Fran Brown. Yeah, Kyle pointed this story to me right before the show, and I think it's a interesting one to discuss. So Fran Brown, the head coach at Syracuse, had been discussing with Deion Sanders the idea of changing the spring game and playing other schools. And according to On3, they received disappointing news from the NCAA on Friday. Their waiver to hold a joint spring game in Boulder was denied. A general idea proposed by Deion and followed up by Fran, the Buffaloes and Orange will not face off in the coming weeks. Brown was able to speak about the decision for the first time on Monday, and he said the NCAA was not going to let him or Sanders be the one to pull this one off for the first time. He even went as so far as to suggest the waiver may have been passed if North Carolina's Bill Belichick or Bill O'Brien of Boston College were behind it. Quote, we should have just told Coach Belichick and Bill O'Brien to come up with it. You know damn well they weren't about to allow Coach Prime and Fran Brown to be the first ones to do it over their dead bodies. He also continued, I'm just messing with you, NCAA. Don't get mad. Call my ID and try to find me. I'm literally joking. So I would say this to Fran. I don't know if it applies to Fran. I do think it applies to Deion.
I just love that. I love that he said that.
No, I love it. I love it. Put his name on it.
Spot on. I think he's being a little facetious, and I love the fact that he said this and then sort of backtracked it, so we don't have to get all mad, right? But like, he's being truthful, because if Bill Belichick had said, "We're going to scrimmage Boston College. It's going to be Bill O'Brien versus Bill Belichick in a spring game." Yeah. Do you think the NCAA would have declined that? Would have said no?
Here's where I agree with Fran. I do think there are other messengers that might have been able to get this. I'm not sure Bill would have been the two, because who I think it would have to be is who is the college football equivalent of Krzyzewski in the sense that he's got moles in Indianapolis everywhere. Because the most true thing that was ever said was Chris Felica, the Bear, after Cooper Flagg hurt his ankle. Was that, I think it was Friday of the ACC tournament. Maybe it was either Thursday or Friday. He fired it off on Twitter. He goes, there's one thing I will know for sure about this bracket. Duke will be playing Friday in the NCAA tournament to give him maximum. Right. And like, that was spot on. And you know, Krzyzewski's always viewed as like the NCAA darling. They'd prop him up. Who?
Like a Brian Kelly, maybe.
Who's someone that they prop up in football? Because Kelly's still, like, I don't know how well-received Kelly is in Indianapolis.
Lincoln? Or has the team just not been good enough for that?
Like, Ryan, like, this is kind of the other problem, is that, like, the big institutions that they prop up, I think it has to be a Big Ten guy. But the problem is, like, they would never have used Harbaugh. I think that's the thing. I think there are enough people that were delusional about Urban Meyer that, like, you know, he does it the right way. It's like, what, with felons?
No, yeah. He doesn't do it the right way. Who does do it the right way in college football?
Now the question is, what is the right way?
Well, I think this would have been interesting. It would have been Syracuse, like, and Colorado playing like a spring
Saban,
game.
I do think Saban could have done this.
Saban,
I also don't
probably,
think, I don't think Saban would be in on
gone
it, though.
Along with it with Saban. Yeah. But here, did you see the rationale that the FBS oversight?
I'm sure this will make a ton of sense. Give it to me.
Yeah, right. So the late timing, as most teams have planned out their spring practice and in many cases would have concluded their spring practices. I don't know why that matters. That was one of the reasons, though. A recruiting advantage. Colorado and Syracuse would have received a recruiting advantage by holding the scrimmage when other teams couldn't hold a similar scrimmage this spring.
Do they have visitors?
I mean, they could have said that they weren't allowed to have visitors, in which case it wouldn't be a recruiting advantage. So they could have done the game, put it on TV. I guess at that point, the prospects are watching on TV, and so the schools gain an advantage because they're seeing, you know, these teams play on TV.
Colorado's playing on their spring game on whatever they do is going to be on TV anyway.
That's true. And then here was the last one. Here was the last one from the NCAA on why it would have been unfair for Syracuse and Colorado to play a spring game against each other. You'll love this. The potential academic impact for athletes missing classes.
Yeah, that's what we care about.
Participate in a scrimmage. Have you seen March Madness? Do you think these teams in the Final Four have stepped foot in a classroom at any point in the last 6 weeks? I mean, give me a
Cub. Palo Alto, California, and Miami, Florida are in the same conference in every sport.
They could have just left that one out of the reasons. They could have just said, no, maybe next year. We have to think about this. Whatever.
So basically, I guess I'll give them it's like, this is where you should stop. Like, you can tell they put in all of their prompts into ChatGPT when they need a press release. Here's what, like, they need an actual human being that knows how to talk to human beings to do this. What they should have said was, by applying late, we do not offer this opportunity to all the other member institutions to do this. With that being said, this is an issue we will revisit, and if you want to plan on next year, this is a topic that we are open to ideas. Because the truth is, I think this needs to be something that can happen. Now, I'm also not convinced all the schools would participate.
Like, a lot of them wouldn't. They wouldn't want to risk injury. You don't want to risk showcasing some of your players.
It's less injury. I think you just hit the nail on the head.
You don't want to showcase your young talent for the portal. If you got a second string corner who goes and balls out in the spring game, who you want to keep in your program at a low price, and then all of a sudden he's on TV making plays, then, you know, the price is either going to go up to keep him or you're going to lose him. And so that's, I think, why a lot of these programs don't want to do spring showcases anymore. But it's great for the fans if we get something like this, because whatever their reason for wanting to do it, they think it's going to outweigh any potential negative. If Dion and Fran think that doing this is going to help them recruit and help them get better players, then they're thinking the upside of that side of it is a lot greater than whatever downfall if you get a couple of guys poached because they ball out in the spring, right? Who cares? If five or six prospects watch us during the spring and are like, oh, that looks like a fun program, I want to go play there, then it outweighs. Like, so I appreciate this, because so much of college coaching, especially in football, is fear-based. It's like, well, I don't want to get fired. I don't want to lose a guy. I don't want to do this.
Risk averse, yeah.
You know, you're just you live in this box of fear. And then meanwhile, we actually have Deion Sanders and Fran Brown out here proposing something innovative, proposing something fun, proposing something additive to the college fan experience. And we're just kind of like, nah, we're just going to find reasons to say no.
Yeah, because you hit the nail on the head. This is why whenever we talk about, okay, how can we get this under control? And I'm not even saying, like, let's go back to the way that it was, but it's like, how can we get to a place that is not just truly a free-for-all with no rules just right, like Outback Steakhouse? You're expecting me to believe that these people are the ones that are going to figure this out? Like, based on what? And like you, I do not want to suppress people that are at least trying to have ideas. Because what I think, the more and more as we get into solutions, you start to realize it is a very complicated thing. But I don't want people that are at least offering ideas and offering solutions. I don't want them to be just given the Heisman. Like, you know, just boom. No, get out of here. Like, I want ideas. It's why, honestly, though, I think your idea, when we first started talking about this a couple of weeks ago, I'm all in favor of have this be the FCS game. And for all the coaches that are afraid, well, what about my guys balling out? It's like, I don't know how many people are popping in tape against the FCS and thinking, that guy can play, that guy can go and start in the SEC. That guy can go start in the Big Ten. Like, have it be the FCS game. That also means we have one fewer game that fans don't really want to pay for in the fall. And, like, that's at least something that, like, that could be. Now, obviously, if Syracuse and Colorado want to play, like, I'm all for that, too. Like, I want to be very clear. But it's like, maybe the compromise is, like, let's make it the FCS game because, and this is a story that we'll get into next, but it's like, I sympathize with fans going, why am I supposed to pay for everything? Like, what am I getting out of this? Is like, you know, and I think what you'll start to see is, I had felt for a long time that television was the number one pusher, that ESPN was the number one pusher of the 9-game schedule. And maybe that was true at first. But you know where I think a lot of the pushing is coming from? I think it's coming from a lot of the bottom half SEC schools that are like, y'all, you give us another conference game, that's like another $20+ million in revenue. Like, mm-hmm. that's a lot. We got a lot better chance of filling the building up with another SEC game and making all the money that we do with another SEC game than we do Coastal Carolina.
Their coaches might not want it because their bowl game bonus isn't going to hit when they got to play another conference opponent, but their administrations can look at it from a financial standpoint and say, we're going to be a lot better off trying to fill in this massive stadium for an SEC game as opposed to a game against Jacksonville State or an FCS team. So let's move our FCS game to the spring and give them some free popcorn while they're there.
Okay, along the same lines, University of Memphis and Coastal Carolina. All right, Cobb, so the big news from yesterday in the world of college football, and I use big news in air quotes, but Coastal Carolina is going to offer season ticket holders free food. It will include popcorn, hot dogs, the basic nachos, you know, like the nachos that come in the plastic cup with the goop, and fountain drinks. The catch is you have to use your Coastal Carolina Athletics app. So I guess the app that everyone uses for their tickets and whatnot.
Well, let me go download that thing right now.
Correct.
Then.
And it is not limited. You can go up every single time. You do have to scan. And this does not include third-party vendors. So if Coastal has the Papa John's ticket, you know, the Papa John's pizza booth that every SEC stadium used to have, like, you know, if you bring in the barbecue place, like, that doesn't count. And premium food doesn't count. And obviously, alcohol doesn't count. Mm. On the one hand, it's like, I celebrate this as like basically, we're offering the same thing that the press boxes offer. Like, I don't know if you were a halftime hot dog guy, but I was. It was a big
I was a big time critic of SEC press box food.
Yeah, but
and then somebody pointed out to me, David, you're sitting in the press box and you're eating free food. Stop complaining. And then from that day on, I was like, you know what? You're right.
No, but like, I made a habit not to complain about like the catered food or whatnot. But like, you know, there are a lot of stadiums that will give you the popcorn. Like, they'll have a popcorn that you can get at halftime, a dog. Mississippi State offers out ice cream that's always delicious. Like, that, like, tip of the cap to them. State's press box food situation, criminally underrated. But then my other thought is like, okay, part of this is they're just going to get your data and steal it and sell it.
Right.
But
so it's not free. You're giving them something. You're giving them something.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, whatever. Like, I'm not narcissistic enough to like think that like I can stay off the grid.
Of all the entities that have my information, the Coastal Carolina Athletic Department is the one I'm least concerned about.
I have at it. And it's like, if we're trying to think of ways to get people into the building, I'm not going to push back. Like, you know what I mean?
And I feel bad for the people who have to make all this popcorn. I don't know if you've ever had to work a popcorn machine before.
I've done the concession stand.
Back in the day, at Game Day Baseball over on Fisher Steel Road, I made a lot of popcorn. And then, you know, you can burn yourself if you're not careful. There's a lot of popcorn here. What does this have to do with Memphis, though, Jeff? Like, you mentioned Memphis. Like, what is this? What's the correlation?
The University of Memphis also today announced that they will be reducing seating capacity at FedEx Forum by 3,649 people for men's basketball games starting the 25-26 season. They will also apply a 9.75% sales tax, which is the sales tax rate combining Tennessee's statewide sales tax with Shelby County's, on tickets and parking for all sports, the university announced Tuesday morning. So, to me, it's kind of like, I think this is why I'm kind of a pretty big Ed Scott fan. Tennessee basically just announces ticket prices are going up 10%, and they spun it with the it's going to NIL, you know, it's going to for the players, whatnot. Memphis said, hey, you know, we always are subject to the sales tax, but we just eat it. So now it's like, you're going to pay the sales tax. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, that's kind of a PR savvy way to just be like, listen, you're going to start paying the sales tax. We're sorry. Like, that's how it's going to be. Rather than just being like, hey, we're raising 10% so that we can fund what we don't want to pay for, like, ourselves. Like, keep having the fans fund everything from the rosters to everything in between. Like, I think this was a pretty savvy move.
So what about the reduced capacity, though, in basketball? So, is it basically, hey, we're not filling these seats anyway.
Correct.
So we're just going to put a curtain up there. So it, I don't know. Why would you, so like, what's
George,
the rationale behind
George,
that?
Chime in with me. I believe, so they've still done a pretty good job of selling the terrace level seats that are along the, like, they go like, basically.
The Pinnacle?
Like, no. So Pinnacle's fine. Pinnacle.
Okay.
Pinnacle, so it's the terrace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The upper deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The upper deck from like the 20 to the 20, if you will, those seats have been sold fairly regularly, but the end zones and the corners are not. I was wondering, though, like, you know, we built the Big River Steel, like, terrace level. Like, right. I don't know. Does the curtain go around that? Like, I don't know. But basically what they're doing is they're saying, you know, we're not selling these seats, so we're basically like, hey, we're kind of moving everybody down to make it look more full,
condensing our crowd.
Correct.
So it's not so sparsely populated.
Correct. And
I
they
guess
said
that
like
sense.
if there are big games, like, they will
uncurtain it.
Correct. If they can sell it, they will.
Okay. Yeah that will obviously, right, you don't want to box yourself out of that possibility. It's sad though Jeffrey, a little bit, that this is something that needs to be done or that can be done. The idea that it's really not even a possibility to sell out FedEx Forum for Memphis men's basketball is a little bit of a downer. It's a huge building. Don't get me wrong. You go around the country, there aren't many 18,000 seat college basketball arenas. There are some, but there's not a ton of them.
Let's count. So the Carrier Dome, Rupp,
Thompson Bowling,
Dean Dome.
Yeah. Those are perennially among Food Value Center in Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State.
Kohl Center's probably at least 16 or 17. Some of the Big Ten ones, because, like, you just don't realize, like, some of those places are just massive. But, I mean,
it's disappointing, though, right? Like, it's a little bit sad I totally agree with this idea that it would be awesome if you could build an on-campus arena for Memphis with a 9,500 seat capacity. The place would be busting at the seams. It would be like Auburn's arena. It would be hopping, right? So I get it. Like, it's not ideal to play in an off-campus NBA arena of that size. Like, what other AAC or non-high major program has any prayer of filling an 18,000 seat arena?
What does Marquette draw in Fiserv?
I'll get you that answer.
I was thinking about this is, like, I feel like the number of games Nova plays at whatever the Comcast arena is now, maybe it still is Comcast, I think that's been going down. Because I feel like now, more than ever, when you watch a Nova game, you see them in the little, like, 7,500 on-campus seat arena.
Right. So NCAA's official attendance report from the 24-25 season has Memphis at 35th, 11,931 average. Not bad. Not terrible, right? But obviously, I think if you go back to the Calipari era when FedEx Forum is a new building, and, you know, it's probably pretty close to a sellout most nights.
Well, I mean, Cal used to do the giveaways of the TV giveaways because he got mad that the upper deck wasn't full. I guess the only thing I'd push back on that is, like, I think in-person attendance is just such a different animal now. Like, and then on top of that, it's like, man, I don't really fault the people that are like, you know what, I'm cool going to the couple of big games, but, like, I just don't really want to fork over $5,000 to go and watch North Texas.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna dispute this. Like, I get it. There's other factors here, performance of the team and the whole like these teams stink that we're playing sort of deal. That's a huge part of it. But it is disappointing. Okay, here I got it. 2009, Memphis ranked fourth nationally in average attendance. No, excuse me. They ranked fourth nationally in terms of total attendance.
Total attendance.
And they were top 10 nationally in average attendance in 2009. 16,933. So you want to round that up to 17K? Go ahead. I mean, and now we're talking below 12. That's a significant drop-off, especially for a coach who was supposed to be the guy to put butts in seats.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Compared to his predecessor, he has. I mean, Cobb, I'm telling you, man, there was a UConn game at the end of the Tubby era. If there were 1,700 people in there, I would have been stunned. Like, it's I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I think if Tennessee came to town, I think they could sell it out. But like, even George, with the Ole Miss game, I mean, it was full, but I mean, what? Probably, I would bet 14.
Yeah, I'd probably put it around there. But like, to that point, for what it's worth, a lot of that upper bowl that they, that they couldn't sell.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, they usually don't sell the back and corners. The 20-20 was full. Me and a buddy of mine who still had his like student ID and stuff like that for University of Memphis used his student ticket. So we're like, cool, we'll get to use lower bowl. Wrong. Because of the specific type of ticket, they use the back and the corners there as overflow from the student section.
I mean, this is the big problem also with, like, my biggest fear right now is that we're going to spend $600 million on two stadium renovations that are going to be underwhelming.
Like, because that's not enough to do either one of them all the way right.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. I, to your point, man, like, I've got it here. Tubby's last season, average attendance, Jeffrey, 6,225. That's bad. I mean, so it's
Cobb,
almost
they were going to churches. They were going to churches and like they were schools. They were handing out tickets for free so that they would scan so that way they would get the money, the bottom of the barrel money from the Grizzlies.
That's disturbing.
I mean, that was it was awful. Oh, no, we're going to take a break, George, because we'll come back. It's a game of the year that nobody's excited for. Maybe the Grizzlies will get a no apparent reason win. The Grizzlies and the Warriors tonight. It's a big one in terms of if the Grizzlies are going to stay out of the play-in. This is one that we got to have. We'll talk about it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Cobb. Who's not excited for another night of Grizzlies basketball?
Woo!
It does suck how much they've taken, like, it's just not fun to turn the games on anymore. Jeff yesterday asked, like, what's your goal for the rest of the season? I was like, to just turn the game on and not be miserable.
Oh, well, what is there a way? Is there a salvage scenario like where you're like you come out of this and you're like, okay, they salvaged that. Like, what is that?
Win tonight.
Oh, you so literally beat the Warriors and you're like,
oh yeah,
I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah. No, I hate them that much. Yes.
Wow.
I hate everything that they stand for. Yes. I Steve Kerr, can't wait to come hear what sermon he's going to deliver about how better he is than all of us. Also, did I see they signed somebody that broke the code recently? I remember looking at someone, I was like, oh, that's a code breaker. I remember thinking that.
He wouldn't.
All right, the line's only 4. I hesitate to even talk about the line because it just feels like if you would have just like started betting against the Grizzlies post All-Star break, like I would presume you're just sitting on a mountain full of cash. But you do have the Warriors who haven't been as good when they have to go like all the way across the country. Like a lot of their road wins are the West Coast side of the ledger. The last time this team was in FedEx form, the Grizzlies beat them by, I think, 148 points. But like this is such a massive one in the sense of if you drop this one, like it is going to be a real fight to stay out of the play-in.
Oh, I've resigned myself to it, Jeffrey. They're in the play-in. In my mind, that's where this thing is headed because look at it. They're in fifth at the moment, but they're one game out of eighth because the Clippers are technically in eighth, but they've won 8 of their last 10. The Timberwolves are in seventh. They've won 7 of their last 10. The Warriors are in 6th. They've won 7 of their last 10. The Grizzlies are in 5th. They've won 3 of their last 10. So these things are trending in opposite directions here, and the direction it's headed for Memphis is 8th place in the West.
All right, so here's remaining strength of schedule. So Golden State still has Houston, Denver, Lakers, and Clippers. They also have 3 against the Spurs, the Blazers and the Suns. I don't know, like with the status of Durant, I don't know. The Grizzlies have Denver, Golden State, Minnesota, Detroit, as well as Charlotte, Miami, and Dallas in terms of like the winnable ones. Like the real question that I have is if they finished 8th in the standings, have you thought about the implications?
Yeah, the implications are you win in the play-in and then you have to go play OKC.
Okay, so if they finish 8th and they win the first play-in, they would go play the Rockets, presumably. All right. You can kind of talk me into that one. But if they lose that first play-in game, they'll play the winner of the 9-10 and host it. And then you would play the Thunder. Now, also with this stipulation, the first round pick that the Grizzlies sent to the Wizards for Marcus Smart, it is lottery protected. So, if you were to lose that second play-in game, you're at least keeping your draft pick.
Should we root for that?
If you tell me they're going to be in the play-in game, I might just be like, I'm so done with this season. Yeah. I still hold enough hope that they can stay out of the play-in.
So if you look at the Grizzlies' schedule, after tonight, you got Miami, Detroit, Charlotte. That's a 3-game road trip. You can win 2 of those.
Yes.
You can win 2 of those. All right. Then you close with Minnesota, Denver, and Dallas. So it all depends on like where Minnesota and Denver are at in terms of who are they playing. Like, are they actually playing their players, or are they just at a point where they're content to let the chips fall where they may in the standings and they're getting dudes rest? Because like that's kind of what it's going to come down to is in those games against Minnesota and Denver, who's trying?
Keep in mind though, Minnesota has to pass the Grizzlies by a full game, because the Grizzlies have already won the series. So if they finish tied, the Grizzlies win that one. That's kind of the other reason why tonight's big is if you look at it in terms of the Grizzlies and the Warriors, if the Grizzlies were to win tonight, they would have split the series 2-2. And the next tiebreaker that would apply is Western Conference standings. And the Grizzlies would have like a 3-game cushion on the Warriors in that.
Also, just such a joke. It never changes. No matter how often we think like the tides are going to shift or like whatever, the East is just such a joke compared to the West. You look at the eighth place team in the East right now, the Orlando Magic, they're 36-40. Like, there's a chance that there's going to be a team in the play-in that's 10 games below 500 in the East. And then meanwhile, you know, in the West, you would legitimately have your top eight. They should just nix the play-in in the West this year. I know you can't do this willy-nilly, but I mean, come on. The top eight teams are the only eight teams in the West that deserve to be in the playoffs this year. Like, you go down to Dallas and Sacramento? I mean, no. What are we doing?
All right, so I'm trying to think, what is the number that they need to get to that I would feel comfortable about staying out? Do we think 48 gets it done?
That would be five more victories?
No, that would be four more. They're at 44 right now.
Yeah, okay. All right.
They're at 44 and 31.
That's, what, 500 the rest of the way?
That would be...
Or is it 4 out of 7?
I think it's 4 out of 7, right? Because there were 9 games left. They played the Lakers and then the Celtics. Yeah, so I think there's 7 left.
It's 4 out of 7.
4 out of 7. And you'll be favored in at least 3 of them, I think. I think you'll be favored against Dallas to end the season.
I don't know if there's a number that can make me feel good about anything. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, but would you not agree, as much as it sucks right now, they're just 48 minutes away from night from like completely like redeeming themselves?
I guess. If they just go out there and crush Golden State, let's say like they did. When was it? It was what, December, when they beat Golden State by about 50?
It was the most fun. It was the most fun game of the year for me.
And if like you do that, well, one, you're not going to do that. But if you just beat them, I mean, the vibes are a little
better. It was December the 19th.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They've lost 6 out of 7 right now. The vibes are just so different. One win is nice. I don't see a win tonight being anything like what that one was in December. Because that's still at a point in the season where you're like, okay, there's a chance that this Grizzlies team is going to go and do something. To me, the ship has sailed.
They were 19-9 at that point.
Right. And the Warriors are also a lot different now. They've added in Jimmy Butler. You know, they're really healthy tonight. I mean, I think Gary Payton II's the only guy who's not playing. I don't know, Kuminga might be questionable.
So Steph went out last night, but they didn't list him on the injury report today. So I'm assuming he's playing. Hooray.
Yeah, right. Like they've got a healthy Steph. Jeffrey, I don't know. I'm in a bad place right now.
It's not
with the Grizzlies.
It's not a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, let's go to Tiger Woods' official Twitter account. I can't believe I'm saying this, but after a few weeks after rupturing my Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, plus the explosive lifts, my doctors and trainers have me ready to play the Masters next week. Can't wait. See y'all on the course.
What's today's date?
That would be April 1st. Today's one of my least favorite days of the year. It's like just unfunny people trying to be funny. It's a disaster. I'm so glad I don't work in like a real office. I think I would really, really struggle. All right, my man, safe travels to San Antonio. Wish you all the best.
Appreciate you.
That is David Cobb. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.